This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
In 1993, I was led to start to organize Save America Ministries as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation at America's greatest crisis hour. And in order to do that, we did, in fact, incorporate in California Save America Ministries. Some people say, well, at least you didn't bite off more than you could chew. Well, yes and no, that's true. But the reality is that Save America doesn't begin with them. It begins with you and with me. One of the initial founders with me of Save America Ministries on our board had run for the state legislature in California in an adjoining district. I also had run for the state legislature twice in California. And so he was joining me on this effort through Save America Ministries to make a difference in our country. And we were walking on a little getaway one weekend around Lake Arrowhead, California, one of the premier resort communities there in California. And as we walked around the lake, we began to have a discussion about where we are as a country. And here's what he said. He said, Chuck, if we don't start building the foundations of our country, the understanding of what it is, what our government is like, what our country is like, what the original founders intended for our country, and the understanding of how things work, the Constitution and so on, if we don't begin to build that into our young people, we might as well write off the country. It was a very solemn statement, and that was 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Well, the year before that, 1972, Forbes magazine, one of the foremost business publications in America, used its 75th anniversary edition dedicated to analyzing and responding to the grave sense of despair and anger in our country. America's news magazines were saying things like America in despair, how the American dream unraveled, and so on. Cover stories. Forbes magazine said it isn't the economic system that needs fixing. It's our value system. Among the numerous articles in that issue from America's scholars and writers dedicated to exploring the nation's demoralized condition were some of these quotations that I want to share with you right now. Number one. Every parent in America knows that we're not doing a very good job of communicating to our children what America has been. We do not teach it as a society, and we teach it insufficiently in our schools. Instead, we teach the culture of resentment, of grievance, of victimization, and we are certainly demoralizing our children. In 1939, we could tell we were beginning to lose God, banishing him from the scene. And it's a terrible thing when people lose God. I don't think it's unconnected to the baby boomers' predicament that as a country we're losing God just as they were being born. It's been said that our children are a message we send to a world we will never see. What kind of a message are you and I sending through our children? What message have we failed to send? That's the question before us. What message have we failed to send? Well, according to even a business magazine, they said we failed to send the message of what it means for a nation to be under God. We just didn't teach our children well. But our guest today says the problem also is, as we've just discussed, we haven't taught our children civic education. We just haven't done that. And how are we going to sustain the republic if we don't do that? The statistics are so amazing, friends, that our young people know almost nothing about our history, about our country. They don't know the facts. They don't know the whys and the wherefores. They just don't seem to know hardly anything. It's shocking. So Benjamin Franklin said, right after the Constitutional Convention, he was asked, what sort of a government have you given us, sir? And he said, a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. Can we keep it? Is the republic worth saving? We have a whole party, a political party in this country that don't even believe in the republic. They believe we have a pure democracy that our founders despised as one of the most dangerous forms of government manifested in human history. How can we preserve the republic? Our guest today says we have to teach it. Our guest today, Jeffrey Sickinger, is joining us from Western Michigan as we speak with a wonderful book, A Republic, If We Can Teach It. Jeff, it's good to have you on the program, my friend.
Chuck, thanks for having me.
These are challenging times. These things have not come upon us. Recently, they've been coming upon us for a very, very long time, haven't they?
They've been growing for decades, but now the situation really is a crisis. As you said, it's shocking how our young people today know so little about the history that binds us together, about our fundamental principles that make us who we are as Americans. If we lose those, we've lost the foundation on which to build. We have to have that civic understanding, and it's being eroded at an alarming rate.
You know, Jeff, I have 10 grandchildren, and three daughters and 10 grandchildren. And they range in age now from, 13 to 31. What I have discovered, much to my grief, is that most of them know almost nothing about our country. Almost nothing. And I sit down and I chat with them and try to ask those simple little questions. And it's like a blank stare. Nothing. Yet I remember in junior high school, the eighth grade was one of the most important years of my entire educational experience, including law school. And that's where I learned U.S. government and civics, and it has never left me. Why is it that we seem to have abandoned the very idea of teaching the very foundations of our country and its history?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, just to reinforce, taking the eighth grade as an example, every 4 years, there's a test given across the country called the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the nation's report card, as it's sometimes called, to eighth graders. And this passed in 2022, the most recent test, and you will unfortunately may not be surprised, but it's still shocking. Only 22% of American eighth graders scored proficient or better, not advanced, just proficient or better in U.S. civics. And if you think that's bad, only 14% scored proficient or better in U.S. history. That means that more than 80% of young people, 4 out of every 5, do not have the knowledge that they need to be effective American citizens.
In fact, to be American citizens, period. Because what does it mean to be an American citizen? Maybe that's what we should start with. We'll talk more about this when we get back from the break, friends. A Republic, If We Can Teach It. It's a very important book, $28 book, yours for $24 on our website, saveus.org.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Foundations. What happens to a house if the foundations are not attended to, or any building for that matter? If you allow termites to come in and carve away internally the wood and other factors relating to the foundation upon that your house sits upon, gradually it begins to tilt, it begins to lose its structure, it begins to lose its ability to stand, and then what do you do? There's a passage in the Psalms that says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Foundations are extremely important. And one of the important foundations for our country is the study and understanding of civics and what our country is about, why our country is what it is. And as Woodrow Wilson once said, he said, a nation that doesn't know what it was does not know what it is or even what it's trying to do. So our guest today, Jeff Sikenka, with his book, A Republic, If We Can Teach It, Not If We Can Keep It, But If We Can Teach It, because if we don't teach it, maybe we can't keep it. And I think it's a great title. I love the play on the words, Jeff. And this is so important. I want to make the book available again to our listeners. Friends, this is a $28 hardbound book. It's yours for $24. Fixing America's Civic Education Crisis. If you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, you need to get a hold of it. You really do need to get a hold of it. So it's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. All right, Jeff, why is it that you personally have taken on the task of trying to remind Americans, in fact, exhort Americans to take this seriously?
Well, I'm privileged to be the executive director of the Ashbrook Center, which was founded in 1983 by Ronald Reagan. And our mission has been to help Americans understand our history and founding principles. Because as you said, that's the foundation on which we build our republic together. Our founders called it a precious experiment in self-government. Can people really govern themselves under God, or can't they? And it's an experiment. It's never been done in the history of the world before, this experiment in freedom, but it depends on those foundations.
Well, maybe because we've missed the most important part of the foundation, and that is the under God part.
It's absolutely essential. If you look at the American founders, our Declaration of Independence said that our principles are derived from the laws of nature and nature's God, for just one example of many.
Well, that's true. And John Adams, our second president, said that our government was made for a moral and religious or Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. That just seems to have been lost in the conversation these days, even among so-called conservatives and even the Republican Party. It's very distressing. How can we miss such an important thing and still think that we're going to be successful?
Well, we're missing it because too many of our young people are not actually studying the primary documents of our history. It's really shocking. If you ask your listeners, should ask their children or grandchildren, when you were in school, did you ever read the Declaration of Independence line by line and really try to dig into its meaning? Did you ever read the Constitution? Did you ever read the Gettysburg Address? These are famous defining documents of America.
Well, when I was in the eighth grade, we had to memorize the Constitution.
Well, that's right, and that's not happening today. We are teaching less civic education than we ever have, and when we do it, we're teaching it worse.
All right, so what are we teaching it as an alternative?
Well, we started with, unfortunately, it was started by the federal government testing requirements, things like No Child Left Behind. And there's only so much time in the day, and when you emphasize things like reading and math, which of course are important, something has to give. And then in recent years, science, technology, engineering and math, STEM education, again, there's only so much time in a school day, something has to give. And unfortunately, what has been pushed aside or minimalized is U.S. history and civics. Just doing less of it.
The interesting thing about that is that when I was in the eighth grade, America was reeling after Russia's Sputnik launch, and it had catapulted the entire country into the pursuit of math and science. And I was heavily involved and engaged in that. But at the same time, we had heavy emphasis on U.S. government and civics. So we don't have to abandon that and pursue math and English and science. I got all of those right there in the eighth grade. And it seems to me that we don't think very highly of our young people these days. We are demeaning them by not holding them up to a higher standard.
Absolutely. We can do both, and we did do both, as you say. But we have to understand, and I think we've often lost sight of this, one of the primary purposes of educating young people is it's important to have scientists, it's important to have mathematicians, but they're going to be citizens their entire lives. And this is our opportunity to cultivate citizens and their hearts and minds. We have to take that seriously.
All right, well, how would you define a citizen?
You know, what we need to do is we need to study the fundamental documents that describe who we are, that tell us who we are as Americans. That's what we have to do. And civic education is that combination of history and government that helps us understand the what of America. Facts are important. The how of America, how things work. But also, and most importantly, the why of America.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it seems to me that in this day and age, this information age that we're living in, we are obese with information in many respects, other than with regard to civic education, but we don't answer the why questions. It's almost as if to ask why is deemed too dangerous.
Absolutely essential. That's the thing that helps us understand what binds us together as Americans.
It is.
Why do we have such emphasis on liberty? Why do we have religious liberty, for example? Those kind of questions have to be asked. And by the way, when you ask those kind of questions in class, students are interested in them, they get excited by it, and they want to learn.
Well, you can actually facilitate major conversation about these things, but here's what concerns me, Jeff. And that is the presumption that things today, if we ask our school teachers to teach civics, what are they actually going to teach and from what viewpoint are they going to teach it? They're going to teach Marxism. They're going to teach what they believe, not what the documents say. That bothers me. What's your solution there?
Look, that's a very important concern. Things like the 1619 Project,
which is
a very pernicious, open attempt to reframe American history as a story of oppression and not hope. Those are serious problems. But look, my mom was a sixth grade social studies teacher for 42 years. She did terrific work in the classroom with her students shaping citizens. There's wonderful teachers out there across the country, but we have to liberate them from textbooks that are boring or biased in the way that you're talking about. We've got to let them get back to the original document. Those things you have to study and understand, but they take the politics out of it and the bias out of it in such a way you can have real, open, honest conversations.
Well, liberty today is seen more in the nature of licentiousness, that it means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, to whomever I want, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Isn't that more the idea of liberty today?
Unfortunately, that is. But, you know, our founders understood liberty means self-government, not self-indulgence.
True.
And, you know, one of the ways we recover that, of course, is by teaching in the home, obviously, by instruction in the church. But, of course, also just an honest encounter with the documents of our history, and in particular our founding, would reveal that. But, unfortunately, that's the opportunity that kids too often are not having. And, in fact, it's an opportunity their own teachers are not having in their own education.
Well, so what we've been doing is, as Daniel Patrick Moynihan once said back in the 1960s, he was a Democrat, but he said, we're defining deviancy down. And that's really kind of what we're doing. These things are not deemed to be important anymore. So the question that I have for you is, at this point, is not what to do, but why have we come to the place where these things are deemed not important?
Well, as I say, part of it is other subjects have crowded out the study of sound history and civics. But, you know, there is another side of it, too, and that's something like the 1619 Project. There has been an intentional attempt to push aside informed patriotism and the understanding that schools and education exist to help cultivate informed patriots.
Well, the very concept of patriotism is not seen as positive these days in one entire party political party. That's why we have blue states and red states.
What we really need is to refocus on the 1619 Project, as just to give an example, says, as you and your listeners may know, American story is the story of oppression.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story of injustice. But it doesn't do honest justice to the history of America. It doesn't deal with great important figures like the wonderful black abolitionist Frederick Douglass,
right,
who said the opposite. It doesn't deal with those things in a serious way. The way we break a project like that is by saying, hey, let's have an honest conversation based on the actual documents of our history. And I think that's the way you begin to break down not only the politicization of it, but the bias and the reluctance to talk openly and seriously about our history, as opposed to indoctrination. I'm not arguing for indoctrination. In fact, I'm arguing the opposite. I'm mm-hmm. arguing for education, not indoctrination.
All right. What concerns me, Jeff, is that we have actually, over the years, abandoned the very foundations of faith and freedom. When we formed Save America Ministries back in 1993, the purpose was to rebuild the foundations of faith and freedom. First, as a voice to the church, and then declaring vision for the nation. There's no more vision for that in our country today. The vision has vanished, almost vanished, in so many areas. And when you have no vision, as the scripture says, the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. So where there's no vision, a nation perishes. Where there's no vision, a city perishes. Where there's no vision, a family perishes. So when you boil it all down, it's not just in the schools. It's in our homes, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I argue is that civic education, cultivating citizens, starts in the home. The parents are the primary educators of their children. They need to be telling them the story of America. They need to be reading great stories of great Americans to them. Ronald Reagan said in his farewell address that all great revolutions start in the home, and the revolution to recover informed patriotism has to start there. Now, it extends to many other places, but it can't work if it doesn't work there. And
exactly.
It is absolutely essential that it starts there.
All right. And then when we go further than that, it starts in the heart of the people. The heart of the people. It seems to me that when we really look at what's happening in our country, it's our hearts, not just our minds, it's our hearts that have abandoned both the fear of the Lord that used to be common to bind Americans together in trust. That's gone out the window 30, 40 years ago. The very thing that the Bible says is most fundamental to wisdom. We've abandoned the fear of the Lord.
Well, Chuck, you know, patriotism, informed patriotism, which is what Ronald Reagan called for, patriotism is a matter of the heart, right? It's a love of one's country.
Right.
And the informed part is that because you understand why it's lovable, what it means to be an American. It's both. It is a head thing, but as you say, it is also a heart thing.
Yeah.
And what I argue for is a return to a solid heart, and strong head.
There you go. That's very important. Okay. The book, friends, a hardbound book of Republic, If We Can Teach It, Fixing America's Civic Education Crisis, very important. Get a copy of it. It's a $28 book, yours for $24, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, and we'll get it in your hands. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
So important that we train our young people to understand the responsibilities and what it means to be an American, what it means to value your country, its history. Not everything about it is good or perfect, just like not everything in your life is good and perfect. Not everything in your family is good and perfect. You may have certain values that you espouse. You may have certain principles that you espouse, but are you living up to them entirely? No. No one is perfect, and that's why we need a Savior. On the other hand, we can't just throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, well, because it's not perfect, we're going to throw out the whole thing. No, it doesn't work that way. And so this is it's been called the American experiment. I don't care for that language, quite frankly, but it's the most common way that it's referred to. And here we are after 238 years with the Constitution and over 400 years since the first founding documents of our country, i.e. Pilgrims there, a model, and the Puritans, a model of Christian charity, that some historians have said is the clearest expression of the American vision ever penned. And that's why I put it in the appendix of our book, Renewing the Soul of America. So if you don't have that book, you need to get that along with this book, A Republic, If We Can Teach It. And they're both on our website, saveus.org. So I'm concerned, Jeff, that we just don't understand the word values. Back in the late 1960s and early 1970s, I was teaching public school in Southern California for 9 years. I taught U.S. government and math, and then when I went to law school, taught boys physical education. And what was happening then was that the entire concept of truth was being changed purposely. So no longer were you able to talk in terms of facts and truth. You had to say, I feel, I feel, I feel. We had to go through special education things on the weekend to rediscover how to talk. And it changed everything in our country. I feel, I feel. So what is true, what is right, no longer mattered. At the same time, they had developed what they called values education. It wasn't about values at all. The purpose was to strike out the values that we had been founded upon and to replace them with selfish values. My feelings had to have dominion over everything else that we did. This was intentionally done through public education, starting in Southern California in the late 1960s and early 1970s. What we're seeing today, Jeff, is the aftermath, the consequence, the echoing consequences of dropping that major meteor in the pool of American life. You hear people talk about values, our values. They have no meaning to them. No meaning whatsoever. Yeah. Values have to have a meaning. And if you don't understand what somebody else is talking about when they talk about our values, you're going to be completely out to lunch, and you interpret what they say as if it's what you believe, and it isn't.
Well, it's a major crisis. You're absolutely right. And it's completely contrary to how our founders and our founding documents talk. I mentioned before a line from the Declaration of Independence that our principles come from the laws of nature and of nature's God. They're not American values. They're laws of nature. The founders believe that there are laws of nature that are just true principles of moral reality that are supposed to guide a country. Just like there are laws of nature in physics, there are laws of nature in morals and in politics. That's what our founders believe. That's what they said. And they also believe, Chuck, that if you could do a kind of science experiment on this. And if you set up a country that's in opposition to the laws of nature in our Declaration of Independence, that country will not be secure. It won't be prosperous. It won't be free. The people will not be flourishing. It'll be insecure, miserable, and tyrannical. And I think the example of the Soviet Union shows that to be true. If you set up a country in opposition to these laws of nature, you will end up with a disaster.
Well, that's what Alexander Solzhenitsyn declared in a Harvard address around 1979. He said, you don't understand what you're doing to yourselves. You just don't understand what you're doing to your country. You better get a hold of it now or it'll be too late. That's just paraphrasing his address to Harvard. So there's no question about it. It's a crisis. There's no question about it that it is deepening and deepening and deepening, ever deepening with every, in fact, our entire presidential election this year is a reflection of two dramatically different views of what America is, was, or should be. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and we need to, and where can we go to evaluate that? If we're citizens, where can we go to say which party has the better vision for America? And what I argue is, well, let's go back to our founding. Let's go back to the principles that were supposed to guide this country. Let's understand those, and then we can make wise, discerning political judgments about today.
All right.
But we can't do it cut off from our past.
It has been said by our founders, many of them, that without virtue, you cannot have liberty. What do they mean by that? What is virtue? The 75th anniversary edition of Forbes magazine spent its entire half, I still have that magazine, a half inch thick, answering the question or attempting to ask the question, whatever happened to virtue in America? That was in 1992.
Yeah. And things, unfortunately, have not gotten better, as you and your listeners know, in the last 30 years. Because, for one reason, we've neglected the study of great statesmen in our history who do show us, despite the fact that we are flawed, yes, sinful human beings, even the greatest human beings are flawed and sinful. They are examples to us of virtue and what we can and should be. Think of the way previous generations studied George Washington. As an example of this is what a real, true American leader looks like. And they studied his life. They read biographies of him. They read his speeches, his writings, and really tried to say, let's understand this so we can aspire to that level of virtue.
And led us through the challenge of Valley Forge. And we're in a Valley Forge today that's 10 times worse than that, because we're in a moral and spiritual Valley Forge today, and people don't know how to deal with it. When you talk about our founding documents, you're referring specifically to the founding of an institution or a corporation called the United States of America. Let's go behind that to the documents that actually define the people's viewpoints that led up to those documents 170 years later. If we go back to 1620 and we go back to the first representative document setting forth a representative government in America, it was the Pilgrims. It began with these words, "In the name of God, amen." so be it. And it was about setting a civic government together, a pattern of life that would carry out the purposes for which they had come to the country. Then, 10 years later, John Winthrop, a godly attorney, brought over 4 boatloads of Puritans. And before they landed, because they were outside the realm of the Virginia Charter, they had to pen their own. And so he wrote it. It was called A Model of Christian Charity. It's an amazing document. And it, as some historians have said, it is the clearest expression of the American vision ever penned. In fact, so much so that in 1984, a book was written, Habits of the Heart, that came out of none less than Cal Berkeley. 6 sociologists put it together, and they said that perhaps the number one theme or thread running through it, all of America and its history, was what happened in Puritan America and that model of Christian charity. Nobody knows about that anymore. Why don't we know about it? Why don't we talk about it? Because we don't want to. Why don't we want to? That's the concern that I have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a great concern. How can we understand the richness of the American story and who we are without reading documents like that? It's those documents and, you know, even what you might say more famous documents like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's no surprise we're not reading documents like A Model of Christian Charity if we're not even reading those other documents. And I would say others that are even more recent. But they still have the same kinds of themes. You know, Ronald Reagan said, people called me a great communicator. I was not a great communicator. I just communicated great things. And one of the things he said he communicated was the need to look back on our history and appreciate the richness and depth of it and learn from it, exactly the way that you're talking about. We have to do more history and civics education, and we have to do it better.
When we have abandoned the authority of God and His Word in our country, we have essentially abandoned our ability to see straight, which was the very foundation for the documents that you keep referring to. Some people will say, well, you don't hear about God in the Declaration of Independence. Well, you do hear it there. You don't hear about it in the Constitution and so on. The reason for that was all of the foundation for those documents was expressed in the other documents that I'm talking about, and we don't want to talk about those. So we're actually severing ourselves from the very anchor for America's soul, and we're blind. We're self-blinding ourselves. That's my concern. It's a terrible concern, and that's one of the reasons why I left the practice of law, to plead this ultimate cause of a lifetime to a jury of my peers, the American people, and even particularly the Church of America. Friends, the book, A Republic If We Can Teach It, our special guest, Jeffrey Sekenga, $24 will put this wonderful book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today we're talking about something very important for the future of this country, if we can keep it, that is. It's called a republic, not a democracy. We do not have a democracy. And those who continue to say we have a democracy rather than a republic are actually deceiving the people intentionally. They do not want a republic. They don't want any checks and balances. They do not want any restraints. As Barack Obama once said, he didn't like the Constitution because it didn't give too much power to the government. It gave all the power to the people, except for a few things reserved to the government. He said, no, we need to rewrite the Constitution, giving all power to the government and reserving certain things to the people. You see the radical difference in viewpoint. An entire political party in this country embraces the Obama viewpoint. This does. That's why we have what are called blue states and red states. But the foundation of it is not political. It's spiritual. The foundation of those differences is not political. It's spiritual. The political is issuing out of our spiritual attitudes and mindsets that are contrary to the very foundational beliefs of those who founded the country. That's my concern, Jeff, and I think very few people want to talk about it. We think we can have truth without truth. We can have meaning without meaning. We can have love without love. We're redefining everything, and there is no truth that we can rely upon. And our institutions are failing. The young people in our country have no more trust in the institutions. In fact, very few people do anymore because they're being eroded with untruth, and we have lost meaning in our country.
Yeah, and I would just give you one really just terribly, terribly disappointing and sad fact. There was a public opinion survey just a couple of years ago asking people, are you extremely proud to be an American? Only 25% of our young people said yes. That is shocking. They don't think America is lovable because they don't understand its foundation. And can I just say what the point you made about politics is really important. Politics and elections, of course they matter. But you're absolutely right in that politics is downstream, as they say,
yeah,
from culture. And culture is profoundly shaped by the spiritual things and the things of the heart and mind in education.
Exactly.
Whoever controls the classroom, whoever informs the teachers who teach the children, they are the ones shaping the future. It's in the schools and in the homes and in the churches where the future is actually won. Politics just is an outgrowth of that. You can't change politics if you don't change the foundations, including what young people learn about America.
So the heart is still the heart of the matter. You can dance around all these other things, but if you don't change the heart, it's just talk. I was remembering the Christian Coalition, founded by Pat Robertson years ago. And it was headed by Ralph Reed, who a number of years ago left the leadership of the Christian Coalition to form his own political thing there in Texas. Well, he was replaced by two men, Randy Tate and Don Hodell. And when they took over the leadership of the Christian Coalition, they made a statement that did not sit well with the founder of the Christian Coalition, Pat Robertson. Here's what they said. If we filled every single one of America's elective offices with professing Christians of the type that we have right now in this country, America would still not change. America will change only when the hearts of the people change. For that, they were dismissed from their leadership because that statement wouldn't raise money. That's the problem that we have. There is tremendous resistance to dealing with the heart. Just don't want to do it because it doesn't raise money.
Yeah, and as I said before, and I think it just bears repeating over and over again, if we're talking about the future of this country and building on our foundation, and the goal of that for us as citizens is to be informed patriots. Informed is important. That's a matter of the head.
True.
We have to be wise and discerning and knowledgeable. But patriotism is the thing of the heart.
Exactly.
It literally means love of one's country. And that is what we need to rekindle. A love of one's country, as Ronald Reagan said, because you understand why it's lovable. And that is a sure foundation as far as citizens go for
True.
A country. That's
True.
The danger, what we're in danger of losing that.
All right, well, let's go back to a fellow by the name of John Dewey and Horace Mann, the founders of American public education. We need not go beyond them to understand the dynamics of what have taken place. They were humanists. They did not believe in any of the foundational things that we've talked about. They believed in extracting all of those from American life and doing so through public education in American schools. That's what they intended to do, and they've accomplished the job. That's where we are. They intended to do that. So the public school system, after you and I were educated, began to devolve more and more and more into the vision of John Dewey and Horace Mann. And that's where we are. You see, viewpoint has determined destiny. Now, you make a statement in your book, and in a sense, I agree with it, and that is, you don't have to have a Philadelphia lawyer to figure it's not a problem so big and complex that it can't be fixed. You don't need some billionaire to come in and pour money into changing it all. But what you do need is the mind and heart of we the people, a vast number of we the people who are willing to say, you know what? I see now. I see what we've done to ourselves, and I'm willing to pick up the challenge and to do what I can where I'm planted to make a difference. Like it was said years ago in not so jolly old England, I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do, and by the grace of God, I will do. I'm not sure that the will is there. Help us. How do we recover the will?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, I call in the book for an all hands on deck approach.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just to be left to some school system somewhere. This
I
is
agree.
For parents. This is for grandparents. This is for everyone involved, teachers, school board members, state legislators, but concerned citizens, all hands on deck. I will say this. I think the good news is that people have begun to see that it's a crisis, that it's very serious. It's not a laughing matter that Americans don't know our history and our principles. They're starting to wake up to that fact. I think people are now beginning to say, okay, if that's true, what's the solution to the problem? And I hope to have made some of the argument to advance part of that solution, because we have to recognize the crisis, the depth of the crisis
right.
of head and heart, as you say.
Right.
But we also have to say, but what's the positive alternative? What's the solution to that we can actually work in a very high-minded but practical way to actually begin to turn the tide? Because even after studying this and practicing this and working on this at the Ashbrook Center for years, I have hope, because I see teachers whose classrooms are transformed. I see students whose understandings are transformed. I see citizens who have a much deeper and more profound understanding of our country and who we are and what we should be than if we weren't doing this.
Well, you see it at Hillsdale College. You see it at Hillsdale College, but in the majority of America's public schools, you don't see it, because the teachers are the product of their generation of instructors who are intent on tearing down the foundations of faith and freedom.
Yeah, one of the things that I argue is that we have to create great history and civics teachers, and the problem is they have not had the opportunity, just as you said,
well,
the way they were taught, they have not had the opportunity to get the deep content education they need and to really understand education, not in the John Dewey sense,
right.
but in the classic, profound, deep sense of
All
what
right.
we're supposed to be doing.
How are you going to do that? How do you do that in sufficient time before the entire structure collapses?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize the problem, and people are beginning to recognize the problem. The second thing we have to do is to say, is there things out there? Are there initiatives, programs? Are there activities that are working? And the good news is there are. The third thing we have to say is, how do we take those that are working across the country to change the direction? That's the battle right now.
Okay.
To say, here's the things that work. Now let's get them in front of the right people, discerningly and prayerfully, to get them moving forward.
Well, of course, that's why Hillsdale College itself continues to do what it does without the support of any federal money that would curtail its ability to do just that.
And I would say, Chuck, that that's why we're doing what we're doing at the Ashbrook Center. We are good friends with the folks at Hillsdale, but we also have our own outreach, of course, to students and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
There's many good folks involved in this across the country, but the Ashbrook Center, where I am privileged to be executive director, that we take up that cause exactly.
Well, tell us a little bit about Ashbrook University.
Sure. What's
the nature of that university? Because I have to tell you, I've never heard of it.
No, that's right. We are a non-educational center at a university, Ashland University, but the Ashbrook Center was founded by Ronald Reagan in 1983 to be a place that teaches America's history and founding principles. And we have outreach to students. We have an on-campus program, and we have an on-campus program for high school students, for undergraduate students.
Mm-hmm.
We have an outreach to teachers around the country. When I started, we had 30 teachers. Now we have over 30,000 teachers in all 50 states in our network.
Wow.
And then we have an outreach to citizens. We have a great podcast. We have online courses so that citizens can also study these great documents and renew their mind and heart in what it means to be an American. We've grown dramatically in the last few years, and we're going to continue to do it.
So you have I'm sure you have a website that you'd like to tell us about.
We do. Ashbrook.org. A-S-H-B-R-O-O-K, just like it sounds, ashbrook.org, gives us folks a sense of who we are, what we do, and the kind of programs that we're carrying out.
All right. Well, I'd be fascinated to know exactly what that looks like, because I think you can see that I have lived through this from the late 1960s to today, in the educational system, in the legal system, in the church all across America, have watched the pattern, and that's why I speak the way I do, because it's simple, but it's not simplistic.
That's absolutely right.
The heart of the matter is still the heart. You can fill the head with knowledge, but if you don't have a heart for it, if your viewpoint is not in a line with the information that you've shove into your cranium, you actually are going to do more destruction than if you didn't have the information. So the heart of the matter is the heart. If you don't if your values are not consistent with the word, will, and ways of God as described as the creator of the universe in the book called the Bible, which our founders, whether or not they were Christians, believed was the most important book, and that's why you have the scriptures engraved on most of the important buildings in Washington, D.C. It was so that we would remember, the foundations. That's what we need to remember. All right, our special guest, Jeff Sekenga, with his book, A Republic, If We Can Teach It, which we must. Got to begin at home, friends. Got to begin in your house before it can begin in anybody else's house. $28 hardbound book, yours for $24 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $5 for postage and handling. Jeff, give us your website once again.
Yes, it's ashbrook.org.
Ashbrook.org. All right, friends. A republic, not a democracy, a republic. If we can keep it, and if we can teach it. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Do it today. Don't delay.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.